and welcome to Zig When They Zag, a podcast for business leaders obsessed with growth. My name is Jessica Scanlon, and let's get to it. In April 2020, my marketing agency, Hot Dog Marketing, launched a web series called Zig When They Zag. The hope was to provide helpful content for our growth-obsessed business clients and friends during an uncertain time. And the conversations with my co-host, Kevin Ring, our director of strategy, have been so engaging and fun, we decided to publish them as podcasts so they can be more accessible to a larger population. This first episode is about leading in a crisis, and we talk about forgiving yourself for not having all the answers. Enjoy! All right, Kevin. What have you missed the most, you think, in the last few weeks?
Probably wearing pants. Oh, missed? I thought you said didn't miss. honestly, I just enjoy being with people. I think for us, the thing I love about the way that we work is when they come into the office, right? And we get to see their faces and, you know, like, there's just that difference about not being in the presence of people, the subtle things that are communicated. Like, I don't know. I just miss that. Other than that, like, I think it's such an interesting time. Really curious. And I was talking to you that business earlier about the impact of what's going on their business. And for them, thinking about who their customer is and who their customer's customer is, right, as a service business. And so how is that going to impact their customer, their client in the coming months as the unknowns of the impact of this closed economy is going to have on businesses. And so just not knowing how to prepare for what's next in the midst of dealing with what's going on right now. Such an interesting challenge.
It is. I'm really glad that we decided to do this. And I think we'll just take a moment to introduce ourselves. People who have done business with Hot Dog know who I am, I'm pretty sure. But we should introduce you to everybody. Kevin, for those of you who have not met him yet, he's worked with our clients for a few years. But we're so pleased to have him as our director of strategy officially starting at the end of March. And I decided to hire him even though this was happening still.
Really? That's how you're going to introduce me?
Yeah.
Listen, y'all, I'm not a good business decision maker. I hired someone as the economy was going south.
Yeah.
No,
just stubborn, I really, and I didn't want to give up on my plans.
No, I think it's you know, I don't know. I'm super excited to be here. I've loved this company and working with y'all for so long. When we figured out how to make it work to come on board was really great. You know, none of us foresaw then that me on my first day would be the first day of everybody working at home and not being able to actually come into my brand new job.
Yeah.
But we adapt. And so I think the timing is really fortuitous because it changes some of the things that we had talked about doing, but the challenges are still the same, right? How do we help our clients develop better insight into their customers, into their markets, to really not only help inform the messaging and the creative strategy of the work that the rest of our team does for our clients, but really to even help our clients understand the root of their promises, their problems, or understand how they're going to grow. And for me, I think that that's great. So being able to do that in this time is just a different set of challenges. But I'm really glad we're doing these conversations too, because I really do believe that there is a great opportunity for businesses to lead through this time. And in doing so, will really serve their audience well, will serve their customers well, will serve their community well. So I'm glad we're figuring out how to have these conversations, even though we physically can't meet together to do it.
Yeah, I'm excited personally because I've always wanted to be like Oprah and for somehow I missed out on my opportunity to like start out as a news anchor and then get my own talk show. So here we are, like you're witnessing history. finally going to live out my dream. And you know, Oprah is doing shows just like this over Zoom right now. So she and I have so much in common at this very moment.
Oprah is copying us. That's good to know. So in that, like, who am I? Oprah doesn't have a sidekick. Can you like come up maybe with a dream that like where you wanted to be Johnny Carson?
She is kind of I could be the sidekick. Show, isn't she? Yeah, that's right. Well, so we're talking about leadership in crisis, and we had a long list of ideas of things that we could have done our first blogcast on, and we decided this is the one we should start with, and I wanted to ask you why you thought we should start with this topic.
Oh, man, great question. So of all the things we talked about, I think leadership in crisis is the most important right now because this is really going to define the tone of the next couple months for a business. And the thing that I've really struggled with individually, but then also kind of marveled at, is this is similar in many ways to economic downturns. It's similar in many ways to natural events that cause disruptions in business. Mm-hmm. But it's not universal in the same way.
Yeah.
And so I think the things that a lot of people do to cope and then to move forward in times of crisis are more challenging because the nature of what's going on. So I think for us, it just gives us that chance to, connect on the level of just supporting each other and helping each other realize that this is not a situation that's winnable. There's no standard that people have to adhere to. Like I remind myself and you know, my friends and my family this all the time. Like, it's okay not to be okay. This is extremely challenging. And your experience is not the same as anyone else's. But how you respond to that, you're going to determine what you look like coming out of it. And I know for me, having gone through a number of personal challenges, and you know, not saying I got better with everyone, but just knowing, hey, there's a way to not only get through this, but to come out the other side better off. For us, I feel like we owe that to our clients. Our clients are the kind of businesses who are capable of that. Me, that's why I really think this is the best one for us to start off on.
Yeah. I think it's a natural lead into one of the talking points we wanted to discuss today, which was forgiving yourself. Why don't we start there? Because I was going to start with kind of bigger communication things, but I think you glided right into this one.
Yeah.
Why talk about forgiving yourself as a leader in this situation?
Because I think for me, when I think about crisis and I think about leadership, and I think about our culture, right? When you take those three things and combine them together, a lot of people are quickly trying to make sense of what's going on and to react. And I say this all the time, like a lot of what we do, we're not even aware of why we do it. We are so shaped by the physiology of our brains and our survival instincts and our emotions. Mm-hmm. That we typically aren't aware of when we operate in our day-to-day. So when calamity hits, we immediately escalate to a fight or flight response.
Yeah.
But we aren't able to always identify that that's what's going on. And so for me, I think that's the biggest struggle that a lot of leaders have, is this expectation that they put on themselves to carry just the emotional weight of the well-being of everyone that they lead, which is great. I think that's what sets great leaders apart. But the reality is that we're human and we're limited and there is only so much that we can do. And so being able to give yourself grace in times of stress is the only way to actually set aside the many of the stress reactions, because it's such a vicious cycle of, oh, this is happening. Oh, I'm freaking out. Oh, I shouldn't be freaking out because this is happening. Now I'm freaking out more. And really just makes you ineffective.
Right.
And so anyone who's ever seen a five-year-old who stayed up too late and doesn't want to go to bed knows exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It is so tired, and yet they're so adamant that they don't want to go to bed. You know, I think for us, we end up in a lot of these situations where we're watching what's going on in the world around us, and we're trying to reconcile what it means and how to move forward and how to care for those under our provision and our lead, and still do our jobs while stuck at home in whatever your circumstances is. And it's crazy, and no one should expect to do that perfectly. And so I think it's a process of just saying, okay, this is unusual times, and this is hard. And it's okay that it's hard, and to be able to be in touch and process those reactions and those emotions, however you do it, right? Some people get away. Some people like to talk to other people. Some people just need to punch something. Figuring out a healthy, safe way to do that allows your body to work through those emotions so that then your resources as a leader aren't being drained by your fight or flight reaction. So.
You know, and I've talked to a lot of clients that have, you know, our clients are, they're usually CEOs or business owners. And they've got, you know, more than 10 employees at least that they're worried about, sometimes much larger organizations than that. And I think the thing that I've noticed a lot when we have conversations about decision-making is they feel a lot of stress just to have all the answers right away, right? Especially in a crisis. And that's really, really exhausting. And one of the tips I've picked up from you and then also from these other leaders is to actually ask your team for help, because they all have ideas and ways to contribute to solving the problem. You don't have to be that guru on the hill that has the answers to everything all the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too, the really great thing about that, and I'm glad you brought it up, is it allows you to trust your team and to instill better trust in them, right? So hopefully you're in a place where you know who you're working with and you can ask them and you can just be honest. I think that's the other thing, is to be honest about your own limitations, because no one needs you to be trying to be the one to hold it all together and then ultimately snap.
Right. Nobody wants to see that.
You know, one of the benefits of crisis is you grow to trust the people you work with more. And so, because you see what they're like kind of at their worst. So then when you get back to normal and they're at their best, you know what they're capable of and you've experienced it. And so this is a great opportunity to just be like, hey, listen, this is what we're committed to. This is insane. These are the challenges that we're facing. I want you guys to know what's happening. This is the problems I'm trying to solve. I know you guys are also trying to solve your own problems. Let's be a team together and help each other and forgive each other when we get stressed out and just have a lot of grace for each other in this time. And you'll come out the other side such a better working, more fine-tuned team.
Yeah.
Because of all of this.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but I think it's worth talking about communicating with your team and some tips on how to keep that open.
Yeah, I've been
connected back to some core values and stuff. Yeah.
I've been really impressed with you because, you know, for me, technically I started March 16th, right? Which was right around the stay-at-home order for Austin, but we had been working full-time together before that. And so I got to see you interact with your team of now 14 people in addition to yourself. And I would just love to hear kind of what your thought process was in terms of things that you did or things that you know are really effective for communicating in crisis.
You know, I think a lot of the stuff you already mentioned, I wanted to keep our normal routine, even though we're working from home. So stand-up meetings, which we did in person, we were just doing virtually, keeping those one-on-ones. But I think the one-on-ones are longer because we don't see each other as much. We have more to unpack when we have moments to sit together and talk.
And
I've been, I think, very honest. I spent the whole weekend before we all officially started working remotely going through all of my thoughts on everything I wanted to say to the team about what was going on. Because I know if it were me, and I would be freaking out about job security and client work and stability and other people being okay. And, you know, everybody has family stuff that they're dealing with too. And I just wanted them to feel safe and secure and feel like they can move forward with work. I mean, from an owner's perspective, I want everybody to work, you know? But I think in order for them to work, they have to feel like they're going to be okay. And so I think that's how I arrived at kind of the way we've been handling it so far.
Yeah, I think that that's really good. I would add too, just as an outside perspective, you know, obviously you as a leader, and even some of the things for me leading my team, just really setting the tone of this time, right? So you acknowledge that something is happening. You made sure that everyone is okay. You made sure that, everyone was capable of working, right? Not just, hey, you have to come in, but hey, don't come in. Make sure that you have what you need. So come in if you need to get some your computer or things like that. I thought that was great. But then two, just, I think, creating those touch points throughout the week. So you do a great job of doing that with the Monday all team meeting and then spreading out your one-on-ones. And you don't get that benefit of just milling about the office and popping in on people, right? So just making sure through Slack that conversations are continuing to happen, checking in on people, calling to talk about things that might be going on, strategizing ways to make sure that people who need help get help. Just being very intentional about engaging and keeping track of the people that you're kind of responsible for.
I think the other thing that's kind of happened recently, and I don't think I was bad at this before, but I think it happened more naturally when we were in the office together, telling people they were doing a good job, patting them on the back, you know, saying how impressed I am with their work. All of that kind of happens naturally when you're working in the same space. And I have to very intentionally be like, I'm going to call this person, I'm going to Slack this person, I'm going to tell them how impressed I am with their work, or, you know, and it's easy to not do those things because we're not in the office together. So talk about intentionality. It's like, make it on the to-do list, make a point to do it, because I think it helps a lot during times like this.
I would add too, even we have a random channel in our Slack instance. Slack is our instant messenger, team communicator. And it's just that place where we go to get our wiggles out, if you will. And it's been really great just to create simple polls. Is like, how's everybody doing? But it's not how's everybody's doing. It's I'm okay, or no, I'm not okay.
And here's a GIF that expresses how I'm feeling at this very moment.
And so you feel connected in time when you're not. And that's, I think, really been great. So just to kind of recap what you said is really think about what's missing from your day-to-day in how you work and what your team might need, and be intentional about providing time and communication methods for doing that. It's really key, because we really did, I think, keep moving without very much disruption whatsoever.
It felt that way to me too. Well, Kevin, I think you're doing a really great job.
Thanks, Jessica. I think I'm doing a great job too.
Well,
was this the part where I was supposed to compliment you?
I'm so bad at social interactions.
I haven't talked to another human in 3 weeks, Jessica. I'm not okay.
Well, I think what I want to do is we've got a lot of other topics related to this leadership in a crisis topic. So we'll come back and talk more about that stuff next time.
Yeah, I'm really excited. The one that we were going to kick off on was mission, vision, and core values, which is really important topic for us. So let's do that one next. But
all right, that sounds
good. This has been great.
Cool. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Y'all, don't screw this up.
Why did you have to say that?
Don't spill anything on your shirt. Splash.
Okay. All right, Kevin.
All right. Oh, we're live.
You ready to get started?
I was born ready, Jessica.
Thanks for listening. Check us out on our website at hotdogmarketing.net/zigzag. You'll find more information and you can watch the video series there. You can tweet me anytime at Jessica_markets. Rate us and find more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again.